Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome to this week's Persuasion Call. We're going to go ahead and get started. This is Steve Olson filling in for Kirk. Kirk got tied up in a layover in Florida or Atlanta or somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where he is. So I got a panic text message a little while back, and I'll be handling things for us today. Feel free to pipe in if you've got questions or comments or thoughts about what we're discussing, and we'd certainly be willing to entertain them. And let's see, let me get you the correct... Okay. If you want replays from the calls from the last couple of weeks that we've been doing, there's a website that you can go to for that if you don't have it already. It's persuasioniq.com/KurtCall. That'd be KURTCALL. So persuasioniq.com/KurtCall is the website that you can go to download the recordings and listen to the past calls that we've been doing here for a little while. So Kurt will be back joining us next week, but it'll be up to me today to fill you in on what we're going to be discussing. And it is going to be something that is really at the very heart of persuasion that we found it's necessary to talk about and to review periodically. Okay? And if you, it can be kind of a deep thing, jump in and ask me about it. Okay? So what we're going to talk about is the law of dissonance. If you have Kurt's book, Maximum Influence, or his book, Persuasion IQ, he talks about it pretty extensively in those, the law of dissonance. If you've read any kind of sales book about persuasion or influence, any of that kind of stuff, you know by now that in order to persuade somebody, you have to find what most people call their pain. Okay? If you're not getting people to respond to your offers, to your emails, to your marketing, if they're shopping around, if they're doing all that kind of stuff, you haven't hit the pain strongly enough. And the funny thing is that's a lesson that even the most seasoned persuaders seem to have to learn over and over again. I know I do. If things are going the way that you want in persuasion, you haven't found the source of the pain. Sometimes maybe you're in the neighborhood, but the prospect doesn't think that you understand the source of the pain. And we're going to kind of center this around a visit to the doctor. Think of the last time that you went to the doctor and what it was like, right? Because really this is kind of akin to a perfect persuasion scenario. You know, maybe you wake up in the morning and your throat is really scratchy, your nose is clogged up, your sinuses are welded shut, feel like your head weighs 40 pounds, okay? And you think, well, you know, I probably got a head cold. I need to just let this sit for a couple of days. Well, you do, and it just doesn't seem to be getting better. So you call the doctor and make an appointment to go in and go see him. You go and you wait around for a while, stare at the fish tank, read the boring magazines, go in his office. Finally, the doctor shows up. He says, hey, how you doing today? You say, well, not so good. He says, tell me what's going on. And you proceed to tell the doctor what your problem is. And he says, well, is that all? Anything else happening? And he keeps asking these probing questions until he has a really good idea for what the problem is. Because he's trying to treat a medical issue here. And he can't effectively treat the medical issue unless he knows what the problem is, right? I mean, there's different prescriptions and different methods of healing for all the different kinds of ailments out there that you could possibly be seeing him for. So he's going to go through, maybe he'll, you know, look down your throat and in your ear, feel your glands, listen to your heart rate and your lungs, all that kind of stuff, make sure everything is going normal. And once he's absolutely sure what the challenge is, he's going to give his diagnosis, and then he's going to give a prescription. And I don't necessarily mean a bottle of pills. By prescription, I mean, you know, do this and get better. All right, whatever the solution is to your medical problem. Okay? And you, more than likely, didn't fight with him about it on money. And you probably did most of the talking, because he's coming at you from a position of credibility, and therefore a perfect persuasion scenario kind of unfolded for you there. So when somebody feels listened to, and when they feel like you, the persuader, completely understand their problem, you will get very little resistance on price. So if that's happening to you, you need to focus in on zeroing in on the problem. And that's really where the law of dissonance comes into play here. If you don't know what the word dissonance means, that's okay, you're not alone. It's the law of dissonance is referring to some psychological research that a gentleman named Leon Festinger did at Stanford University back in the 50s. And basically, what this psychologist found was that we as human beings all have what are called beliefs, values, and attitudes. Or to sum it up, they're called cognitions. That's the blueprint that we've kind of built our mental framework around. It's how we see and view the world. Stealing is wrong, that's a cognition. That's a belief. Right? We should be honest, that's a cognition. We should do this, we should do that, we should be responsible. Those are all cognitions. And certain people are brought up, you know, with certain cognitions. A lot of us are born with some of the same cognitions. Some of them are universal. But the point is that we have them, okay? So think of them as these, of programming on a computer that tells the computer what to do. You know, if you have a computer that doesn't have any software installed on it, it's just a hunk of metal. It's useless. But once you put the software on there, it's that software that tells the hardware what to do. Now, if you own a computer for any substantial period of time, you know that that is not always the case, right? Sometimes the hardware starts doing something different than what the software has told it to do. Okay? And that's when you get the error message or it freezes or something happens. That's what can happen to you as a human being. You've got these cognitions, you've got this software that, you know, kind of teaches you what to do, how to think, how to perceive things, but when you in reality, when your actions go against that programming, dissonance is produced. And dissonance is a deep subconscious feeling of discomfort. It's a very awkward feeling. Most of us are feeling dissonance about some part of our life or another part of our life all the time. There's always something that's not quite the way that we want it to be or the way that we think it should be. And, it, you know, it doesn't take a genius to realize that this is going to come into play in the sales cycle pretty significantly. Okay? For example, if you generate a lead, that person had dissonance. Something in their reality wasn't the way they wanted it to be, so they went trying to fix that. Think of it as a big rubber band that you stretch out. You stretch it, and you stretch it, and if you keep going, eventually it's going to break. And that's what the whole law of dissonance is about, is that it's never going to break. We have to do something to relax it. Okay? So maybe you have the cognition that you should be debt-free, but you're not. That's dissonance. You're going to feel real awkward. You're going to feel like, I got to get out of debt. I got to do something about this. I got to get rid of it. And so you mentally are going to go search for ways that that could be done, that you could close that gap between your cognitions and between your reality. Okay? So basically the premises here, and Kurt discusses this in Maximum Influence, is that there are six different ways to get rid of that pressure and to close that gap. And what you're trying to do as a persuader is get your prospect to pick the path that is you or your product. And, you know, you wouldn't surprise you that they're always going to try to pick the path of least resistance first. That's just human nature. Nothing we can do about that. So let me give you the paths, the examples. Okay? The first is modification. Or to modify. And this is many times what you want as a persuader. This is when they say, you know what? I'm in debt. I don't like to be in debt. I'm going to put myself on a plan to pay it off. I'm going to alter what I'm doing in my reality so that it matches what my beliefs are. Now, the other five of these methods are kind of the opposite. You're trying to tweak or change or temporarily alter your beliefs to match your reality, to make reality okay. They're more like cheap psychological quick fixes. Okay? So the first one of these would be denial. You deny that there's a problem, or you demean the source that brought the dissonance to your attention. I'm not in debt. It's not that bad. I don't have time to deal with this right now. There are more serious problems. Just hide from it. That's denial. Obviously, it doesn't fix anything. But hey, you feel, you know, a little bit better mentally for a little while, right? The next would be what's called a reframing. This is how you change your perception. Okay? Say, well, no, this is all business debt. It's okay. I can have this because I bought a fax machine and I use my car, you know, like half the time for business. So this is business debt, and that's okay. You're reframing how you perceive the dissonance. There's a search. Search is the next method. You search for someone or something to validate your position. Well, Donald Trump has a lot of debt. Or my uncle's really rich, but he has a lot of debt. So it's okay. Search for a reason why that incongruity or that discrepancy is not a problem. Rationalize. It's where you get rid of it little by little. Well, I can keep all of the debt but this one little part. That's the part I need to get rid of. The rest is okay for whatever reason. Okay. So we have modify, deny, search, reframe, rationalize. Those are the most popular ones. The last one we'll get into a little bit next time, but these are the ones that I want to address for today. So how you need to visualize this is, think of it if you had a big mound of dirt. I had this the other day that some landscapers brought some new topsoil for a couple of flower beds over at my yard, and they dumped a big mound of dirt out front, and you know, it was kind of up to us to get out the wheelbarrows and do our thing. But if I was to take a bucket of water, a 5-gallon bucket or something, and dump it on the top of that hill, the water would run down the parts of the hill that were the lowest from an elevation standpoint. It would take the path of least resistance. But if I wanted to direct where the water went, I could find the path of least resistance and I could block that off. So the water would be forced to go to the next lowest path. And then the next lowest, and so on and so forth. Okay? So that's what would be done, and that's what we have to do as a persuader if we want this process to feel very natural and good to the prospect. Okay? You have to think of what objections are you going to get. What is their denial, their search, their reframe, all that kind of stuff. And what can I do about it so that it's never really an option for them? Let me give you an example. Let's say you're a network marketer. And you know that once you, you know, pitch your deal, that the main knee-jerk reactions, the main objections that these people are going to have are going to be, well, I don't want to talk to my friends. And that's too much money. And, you know, I don't want to be in a pyramid scheme. And I don't think network marketing works. Okay, whatever they are. You're going to build little dams that are going to block off those objections. So eventually the person goes to modify their dissonance, or they go to solve it, and the easiest way for them to do that is to purchase your product, is to go down, you know, your method. Because they're talking to you in the first place because, you know, they want to make some extra income from home, or They're sick of their job, whatever it is. That's the dissonance. Okay? So you've got to eliminate those paths of least resistance. And we would really prefer that we do that before the person thinks of them instead of during. You know, it'd be kind of difficult to build a dam when water's already flowing through there. Right? It's best to predict it and to do it beforehand. And this is what Kurt many times calls inoculation. And we go back to that doctor example. If you went in with flu symptoms, and if you were older or maybe younger or had some health problems, the doctor may recommend some kind of a flu vaccine or an inoculation to you. I'm not here to debate the merits of that and such. We're just talking about it conceptually. But you would go do that, and you'd get a little weak form of the virus introduced into your body. And your white blood cells, they're the scouts of your body, identify that, and they tell your immune system to manufacture antibodies that are able to go kill this virus off. But it's just a little weak form, so it doesn't make you sick, but it builds up your defense. And that's what you're in theory doing with the concept of inoculation. Okay, you're introducing a weak form of the objection into the prospect before the real thing can come along. You know, in network marketing all the time, you have to deal with the family and friends thing and them being embarrassed and having their brother-in-law tell them how stupid they are for getting into network marketing, all that fun stuff, right? So maybe early on in your presentation, you tell them, and you know what, Bill, I'm really glad that you sat down to talk to me, because the average person just doesn't see it. They're comfortable in their 9-to-5 job, and they're willing to stay there for a while, but I can tell you're more motivated and you want, you know, a different life for yourself. Your brother-in-law or your best friend or whoever, you know, those guys that think they know everything, you know, they'll call you crazy, but you'll deep down know that you're doing the right thing. You're taking that road less traveled that is going to lead you to financial independence. You know, if you want to be broke and unhappy, then you can take advice from those people. But if you'd like to be wealthy and independent, then you really should take advice from somebody who's gone that way. So now, when Bill goes home after he's enrolled in your network marketing company, he's inoculated. When his brother-in-law starts slamming him and, you know, telling him how stupid he is for joining that company, he's prepared for it. We could change it up. We could talk about the pyramid thing. So, you know, sometimes when I talk to people, they get the concern of, is this one of those crazy pyramid schemes? And yeah, I can certainly understand why they would think that. But, you know, with a pyramid, everybody on the top is making all the money. The cool thing about this is the lowest guy has the potential to make just as much money. Everybody has the potential to rise to the top, and nobody's just riding the gravy train. You get paid for what you do here, and it's just the same as any other business. That whole pyramid scheme logic is kind of flawed because, you know, then FedEx and any other reputable company in the United States would be a pyramid because the guy at the top gets paid the most. If that makes sense, Bill. And then you continue with your presentation, and you've damned that part off. He's not going to go there. So you've got to identify the main objections that you're having or are likely to get. I don't want you to go chasing every possible objection in the universe here. Right? There is the possibility of inoculating somebody too much. If you went to your doctor and he gave you a vaccine for every disease known to man, you'd probably leave dead. It's immune system shock. You can't handle it. Just do the ones that you're likely to come across, right? There's certain inoculations that I would possibly need to get. If I went to a different country, I went and lived in a different country for a little while once, and I had to get a variety of inoculations for this country. I don't need them if I'm here. So what are the ones that are most needed? And then the other ones that are more rare and a little less frequent, you're just going to have to deal with those on a case-by-case basis. But, you know, Kurt covers the objection stuff all the time. Okay, so there we have it. That's a little review of dissonance. Your homework, like I said, what are the top objections that you get or are likely to get, and how can you inoculate against them? What little statistic can you give? What little story can you tell about someone you talk to that just introduces a weak form of that objection into your prospect so that they're able to deal with it on their own when the time does come? Well, we're in the home stretch here. Does anybody have any concerns, questions, ideas, anything that they would like to run by me before we finish up? Pretty mellow group. Fair enough.
Steve?
Yeah.
Steve, my name is Jeff, and this is the first call I've been on, so I'm not familiar with your normal process.
Oh, no problem. Go ahead, Jeff. What can I do for you?
Well, I didn't actually have a question. I guess I was just testing to see if that's what was expected. I would just speak up, or if I had to pound six or anything like that to talk.
Oh, no, you're... If it's noisy, myself or Kurt, whoever's moderating, will usually instruct everybody how to mute out, but it's been pretty quiet today, so that wasn't really necessary.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So I was writing my stuff, you know, your dissonance stuff down, and I don't have my materials yet, so I guess all of that is probably covered in all of the materials.
Yeah, absolutely. When you get those materials, the law of dissonance is going to be the first chapter in the book or the manual. First of the laws of persuasion. So that'll be very helpful for you to review, because this is kind of the deeper stuff, but it is the foundation nonetheless.
Okay. And as far as the website that you mentioned at the outset, would you suggest that I do or don't listen to those at this point, since today is my first call?
I'm sorry, that didn't come through super clear. Are you talking about the website with the recordings?
Last couple of recordings you said were available at a website that you gave us.
Yeah, you can go listen to those to your heart's content. The idea is you want to be swimming in the information. You'll see when you get the books and stuff from Kurt, it's going to be a lot of info. I mean, it's not like it's just a little paper-bound thing that you're getting. There's a lot of information in there, and you want to continually bombard your mind with it. Put it in your car, do whatever. And you're going to find yourself using it as your day goes on. You're going to think, I didn't know I knew how to do that, but there you are, you're doing it. So anytime you can, get your mind awash in this stuff, I would encourage you to do so. So, yeah, go to that website and listen to those calls.
Okay. And as far as the homework, is that something that's a weekly expectation as well?
Yep, we will usually give you weekly homework.
Okay, and that's just self-controlled, or are we supposed to send it in, or I assume it's just...
If Kurt wants you to send it in, he'll give you instructions on how to do that. Sometimes that is necessary. In this case, you're going to complete that on your own, and next week when we jump on the call, we jump in and say, hey, I have a question, about last week. Steve was talking about this, and I've been working on my objections. Run it by Kurt. He's happy to talk to you about it. That's what that time is for.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Steve.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for your questions. Anybody else have anything to say today? Okay. Mellow group, you're all asleep from the dissonance talk. It happens from time to time. But we'll have you on next week, same time, same channel. Get your homework done. Have your questions ready to ask us for next week's call. And I wish you a good week. We'll talk to you soon.